The authorized biography of Apple co-founder Steve Jobs was a huge bestseller. It's based on dozens of interviews, including more than 40 with Jobs himself. But one of the book's juiciest episodes comes from a string of emails. In 2003, Apple launched the iTunes Music Store. Instantly, Apple's rivals at Microsoft were kicking themselves. One email message read, "We were smoked."
It was finally at 10:46 at night when Bill Gates weighed in by email.
This is Walter Isaacson, author of the book Steve Jobs.
His subject line was Apple's Jobs Again. It indicated his frustration. Steve Jobs' ability, he wrote, to focus in on a few things that count, to get people who get user interfaces right and market things, is amazing. It was sort of a wonderful exchange to know exactly what people were thinking at Microsoft when the iPod first came out.
Right. I mean, you interviewed Bill Gates for the book, but he probably wouldn't have expressed himself quite that way if you asked about that incident.
You know, when you interview people, you get their recollections. When you have the letters or the phone transcripts or the emails that they did at the time, you find that it's pretty different.
These emails, by the way, are public because they were part of a court case. Isaacson is now working on a book on the dawn of the digital age and the personal computer. Ironically, he's having a hard time getting the materials he really wants.
I just went out to California and did a whole set of interviews with Bill Gates and a guy named Al Alcorn, who founded Atari, and they have a lot of great memories, but I couldn't really extract the emails from them.
Isaacson won't say exactly why, but he says he despairs when he thinks of all the valuable electronic correspondence that's disappearing as hard drives replace shoeboxes and albums as the place where our documents and photos go. William Stingone is curator of manuscripts at the New York Public Library. It's one of the few institutions now able to accept and preserve electronic materials.
It's really only been the last, say, 10 years that we've started to address it seriously, knowing that most of what's going to be created from here on in is going to be created electronically.
So Harvard has John Updike's floppy disks. Emory has Salman Rushdie's emails. But Stingone says few of the would-be donors of major collections are thinking about their subject's digital legacy.
I always usually have to say, oh, and by the way, did you or did this person you're representing use a computer? Well, that causes a pause. One of the things we've had to confront is that people are a lot more comfortable letting you empty out their storage facility or basement or garage than they are you know, hooking something up to their laptop.
To demonstrate that it can be done and done right, the library in 2005 accepted a trove of thousands of electronic files from the September 11th Fund. It was an umbrella nonprofit group that formed after the World Trade Center attacks. The library's first ever digital archivist, Donald Menerick, sits me down at a big computer monitor. Very quickly, we're zooming in on someone's Outlook files from a dozen years ago. It feels intimate, and yet very everyday at the same time.
You can kind of see, like, when they set up, who their first contact that they put in their address book is, what their first appointment was.
So far, there hasn't been much scholarly interest in this material. But a big test is coming later this year when the library will make public the archives of Timothy Leary, the psychologist who popularized LSD. Stingone says Leary loved computers.
Hundreds of disks with thousands of files on the many drafts of things that he wrote.
Crucially, this archive will be entirely searchable by keyword.
And so that's the real leap, because what you find once you have this massive amount of text that you could pretty much put in any word you could think of and find something, you know, but whether that means it's relevant to what you're researching is another question altogether.
For now, too much information is a problem researchers can only dream of. Emails, Instagram photos, and instant messages could be gold for historians and writers one day, but only if they're preserved. For WNYC, I'm Ilya Meritz.